This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's 25% tariffs against Canada and Mexico went into effect at midnight Eastern time. It means prices are about to get higher, including for cars.
There are thousands of auto parts that cross the border between the U.S. and Mexico and also Canada. Car makers have warned that they will end up having to charge higher prices for customers, potentially thousands more. And then, unfortunately, if you're paying more for a new car, you might see more demand for used cars, so used car prices could go up.
ABC News business correspondent Elizabeth Schulze. President Trump halting U.S. assistance to Ukraine Monday, seeking to pressure Ukraine's President Zelensky to engage in peace talks with Russia. The Senate voting 51-45 to confirm President Trump's pick for Education Secretary Linda McMahon. Fire crews in the Carolinas taking advantage of low winds Monday, allowing them to get ahead of those wildfires that have been causing evacuations and threatening hundreds of homes. This is ABC News. Workers at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration turning up the heat after mass layoffs hit the federal agency that provides the country with weather warnings.
I've got a very clear message for Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and MAGA. Hands off NOAA!
Hundreds of scientists with the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration are among those recently let go.
This is such a dangerous thing. You're playing games, really, with potentially life-saving information about the people.
NOAA provides weather forecasts and storm warnings, as well as climate monitoring.
ABC's Rena Roy. An airline passenger stung by a scorpion at Boston's Logan Airport. She was returning from Mexico, retrieving her luggage from the baggage claim when she was stung on the finger, taken to the hospital for treatment. No word on where it came from. Tennis great Serena Williams joining the ownership group of the newest WNBA franchise, the Toronto Tempo, the league's first team in Canada. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lamack, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A setback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers starting left-handed pitcher Aaron Ashby had to leave last night's spring training game in Arizona. In the second inning, manager Pat Murphy says it's an oblique muscle injury requiring an MRI. The Brewers went on to lose to the Reds 5-4. Ashby, the sixth Brewers pitcher, now dealing with an injury. NBA, the Bucks in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Milwaukee has won 6 of their last 7 games, and they've now moved up to 4th place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Badgers men team getting ready to play Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, it is a border state. You know, we've recruited that area really well. That area has been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of a Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win. The other stuff that can happen from that is a byproduct of, you know, doing good things on Wednesday night.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwalbe. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothée Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Honora writer-director Sean Baker won 4 Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win 4 Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Honora was the talk of the night, as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Honora 5 Oscars out of 6 nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some rainfall chances in the overnight. Slight south winds and lows dropping to the lower 40s. Rain continues Tuesday with highs near 50. Tuesday night, a winter storm watch goes into effect, rain changing to snowfall. Right now, it's 43.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Burt.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jane says... Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you're interested in signing up for news updates in your local community, wherever you are, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Amory.
Sorry. You know what, Jay, can I just apologize to you, to Dan, I think to Pat Kreitlow as well, and I think Todd Alba. My brain has been other places, and it hasn't been Amory.
That's
Amory.
Fine.
Because I've been given the tee up, the hook shot, assist, whatever, sports, and I'm just sitting there going, Amory, yeah. Amory. Isn't that a lovely place,
we kind of got out of the habit. It's fine.
So where can you get it, Jane?
You can get it in Amory.
Amory.
Grab the Civic Media app for free.
Okay.
And then you can select communities across the state where you want to get news stories from our great local and statewide news team. We've got folks all over the state. And in a time when local newspapers and other local news outlets are dying, we really try hard to have folks on the ground. Yes. So sign up for get the Civic Media app. It's completely free. And then just select which communities you want to get your news updates from. Our news team does a really great job. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Rachel Campos Duffy, our new transportation secretary's wife, Sean Duffy, she has thoughts.
Queen Road Rules.
She has thoughts. So we're going to kick that around a little bit. After the 11:30 news, as we always do, we'll lighten it up. Should we have clocks in public anymore?
Nothing but the hardest hitting
reporting.
Well,
that's why I say we're going to lighten it up for the last half hour. And then we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. I did want to cover this because I think that's one of those things that happened on a Friday and it tends to go under the radar and then it's forgotten about until they surface, probably within the Trump administration. The Tate brothers are back in the United States, Andrew and Tristan Tate. They had been in Romania for several years, where they are facing numerous charges for sex trafficking and rape.
Organized crime.
Under pressure from the Trump administration, because apparently Barron Trump is a big fan. They are now back in the United States. They're in Florida.
I just want one side note to this. I don't know if you read this, but Ron DeSantis is very unhappy about this.
Okay.
I don't know. I just love that. I just, for some reason, I'm like, oh, so that's the thing.
Well, and he'll get over it.
But I just want to know, I keep on reading this under pressure from the Trump White House. What do we have on Romania where they're like, oh, no, not the United States of America. Let the two little kickboxer boys go. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what the pressure was, because these are like the story will be in the show notes. These are serious charges. And let's not forget the charges they are being accused of, the crimes they are being accused of. Over here, people of the Republican Party, anytime you have to talk about, I mean, trafficking, are you kidding me?
Sex trafficking?
They couldn't shut up about trafficking for the past 2 years, even though everywhere they turned, all their leaders were being busted for some sort of either molestation, abuse, or trafficking. But these guys, they're okay.
They're fine.
They're fine, Jane.
Barron likes them.
They're not drag queens. What do we care?
Yeah, or trans. Yeah, Barron Trump is a big fan. So let's get to know the Tate brothers a little bit in case you're unfamiliar. Ugh. And I suggest if you have a son who's between 18 and 24 or a grandson even younger.
I would say probably middle school.
They know who these guys are.
Absolutely.
Andrew Tate is a British-American former kickboxer. He has 8.5 million followers on Twitter alone. He uses his platform to give his views on rape, relationships, and power. Tate says he is absolutely a misogynist, and he teaches his followers that women are inferior, morally deficient human beings who are good only for sex and status building and who deserve to be physically, sexually, and emotionally abused. Tate posts instructional videos online. You can subscribe to Hustlers University, Greg.
That's what I was looking for.
Hustlers University. Subscribers pay $50 a month, $8,000 annually for these valuable lessons from Andrew Tate. If a woman accuses a man of cheating, according to Andrew Tate, there's only one appropriate response. Bang out the machete, boom her in the face, grip her by the neck, what's up, B, biatch, and then you go screw her. That's how it goes. You go slap, slap, grab, choke, shut up, bitch, sex. Videos of Tate have been viewed 11.6 billion times.
He shows up on my timeline all the time, and I don't subscribe to anything. I hate the things I see when he comes across, and him and his brother. I mean, let his little brother Tristan, who is like that little. Where were we going, boss? Which way are we going, boss? Yeah.
He's a hanger on.
He's a hanger on, but he loves every minute of it.
Well, of course they do. Andrew and his brother Tristan are facing multiple charges in Romania, including sex trafficking, rape, forming an organized criminal group. They were arrested in 2022, are accused of exploiting women from Romania, the U.S., and Britain by seducing them with the promise of a relationship, then holding them against their will, filming them engaging in sex, and then selling the videos. Prosecutors allege Tate raped at least one of the women repeatedly, controlled them by threatening with violence and financial ruin, and then posting their porn videos to the women's social media accounts. All the best people.
All the best people. These two words I cannot say right now. So you go on TikTok, you've gone on Instagram, you've seen reels and these videos. You see these videos from Trumpy dudes, men, manly men.
Alpha males.
Apparently there can only be one, but there's alpha males. There's two of them or more. But this notion of, if you mistreat my daughter, or if you mistreat a woman, or America does, this real bloviated, bang-your-chest type of man. But for some reason, they like these guys.
They love these guys.
Because it's not their daughter. It's not their wife. It's not their friend. But it's this total hypocrisy of the manly man alpha male who says, I will protect my family, but these guys are cool. Why are these guys cool? I guess, because, Jane, I'm a beta male, first of all. I've been told this many times on this show.
I know.
Many times. Beta, Omega, whatever the...
Zeta.
Ooh. Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't know. But my point is I can never figure out the hypocrisy. People who text us on the show, dropped comments on the live stream talking about how amazing Trump is and how awesome this new alpha male.
Manly.
But yet they hurt women in such direct and... I don't understand how why these Trumpian men wouldn't want to hunt these two dudes down and say, you don't hurt women. This isn't the way we do it here in America.
Aren't they the antithesis of what a real man is?
Yes.
Aren't they the complete opposite of what, at least from what my father raised my brothers to be?
Yes.
Maybe I'll have to double check with my brother and find out, did Dad tell you to know slap her and then beat her and then have sex with her? For some reason, I don't think that was the message my dad was giving to my brothers.
And I want to apologize for all the stuttering, but these two men set me off so hard because I see their videos and it would be a movie if it wasn't them. These are movie villains, like real movie villains. Yet, I guess because Barron Trump likes them.
Barron's a fan. So is Charlie Kirk.
Well,
and I saw it was Alina Haba who was there again, a lawyer for Trump. Alina Haba, who was there when the Tates landed in Florida, and she told them what a big fan she is of their shows. She's a fan.
I think it's because honestly, a lot of these individuals think it's an act. They see it all as an act because nowadays it's all about the grift, and social media is about being an influencer, quote unquote. And you do what you can to make money, get followers, get famous and popular. I'll bet you there's a great deal of people who think,
oh, it's just a joke.
It's a put on. It's a joke.
It's just a joke.
Yes.
Women find it so hilarious. I guess my biggest issue with this, I am so tired of hearing Republicans say that they are all about protecting and looking out for women. They're going to protect women from having the 0.00001% of trans athletes. They're going to stop that person from competing against their daughter, but they support the guy who supports these guys coming back to the United States. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. Galvin, you are closest in age probably to folks who follow Andrew and Tristan Tate. What do you hear about them? What do you hear in your sphere?
I don't know. Most of my friends don't really talk about this kind of thing. I hope and pray that they stay away from it. I mean, it's just gross, and I don't really have much of an explanation for it other than guys are lonely and want to blame someone else than themselves.
And that's a different topic, and we have talked about, we have touched on that, and we will continue to do so. But again, if you have sons or grandsons, ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them if they know who Andrew and Tristan Tate are. And ask them why they watch them and what they get out of watching them. I'd be very, very curious to hear their responses.
Also, if these grandsons have sisters, you know, what would you think if that happened to your sister? What would you happen if your friend? I just don't understand. It boggles. You said it so much clearer than I did, Jane. I'm trying to find words. This as a man, this upsets me in ways that I can't make clear because these two men lead a poisonous legion of men who just need help.
I know we have advocates out there, guys. I know there's a whole bunch of good guys out there. We just have to keep at it. Cassandra says, by the way, you get all the letters, Greg. You're awesome.
Yay.
We have a break coming up when we return. Wise words from the wife of our new transportation secretary about handwriting. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out you're here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth.
For the Todd Alba
That's
show.
How it feels you're when listening you're struggling to with your mental health.
Content produced you don't by have to Civic feel alone. Media.
Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
That's you. Okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, lightening it up. Do we need clocks in public?
I want to get all the comments, like, just break out, like, brother versus brother.
This came to me when I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago in Milwaukee County. But we'll kick that around after the 11:30 news. Clocks in public, do we need them anymore? And then we'll wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition, so stick around for that. I did want to take a little moment just to address this because I saw it yesterday and it made me snort. Headline reads from David Edwards on MSN.com. Fox News, Democrats conspiring to end cursive writing so kids can't read Constitution.
Oh, that's where I wish I had the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme right there. Dang.
During a Sunday segment on Fake News Weekend, Rachel Campos Duffy.
She has 9 kids.
She does. She's going to be having nice roads around her house soon.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's right, because Sean Duffy, your husband, now the head of transportation, thinks federal dollars should go to where people are getting married and having the most babies. But anyway, Rachel Campos Duffy on Sunday noted that one Idaho bill will force schools to teach cursive in elementary classes. Campos Duffy said, "So you guys, I didn't realize this is a generational thing. Where have you been? I talked to our producers who are a lot younger than us, and some said they don't write in cursive. They don't even know how."
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Campos Duffy says that the reason we're not teaching cursive in class anymore is because Democrats don't want kids to be able to read the original Constitution. Thankfully, Rachel, I have a little pocket Constitution that I carry with me. And you know what, Greg?
What?
It's not in cursive.
They didn't. It's not handwritten?
It's not. It is printed.
What?
Co-host Peter Ducey said that former President Joe Biden had bad handwriting. Quote, "But you know, one of my favorite conspiracy theories, and I kind of believe it, is the reason Democrats don't want to people to learn how to write cursive is so they can't read the actual Constitution. Like when they go on a tour of Independence Hall, this could be National Treasure 3, Ducey said. I'm here. I want to steal the document, but I don't know which one is right because I can't read cursive.
I'm really thinking, Jane, that we could be on that show. We have so much fun. It doesn't, it does not take any talent to be like, you do not have to talk about anything about on that show.
Just come up with a squirrel.
Yeah. Oh God.
They are great with coming up with squirrels.
So she said it's a generational thing.
And it is a generational thing.
Correct.
And it has been a generational thing for a long time.
Well, and generations that, I mean, and the, what I'm thinking about, she has nine children. She literally has two generations of children because her oldest is 25 years old. She would have known at some point that kids were not learning cursive.
Unless she's just not very involved with her children.
Not involved, or she sends them to that special super duper cursive private school.
Special cursive tutor?
Especially, yeah, the special cursive tutor. I remember when Wisconsin, at least about a decade ago, phased out cursive. And I was upset because I love good handwriting. I have great handwriting.
Love
good penmanship. I love good quill.
It's a skill.
And so I got all up my high horse about it. And my friend who is a public school teacher said, "You don't understand what not having to do this will do for teachers.
If they don't have to spend time on teaching cursive."
Exactly. Something that is not useful in the outside world that will not be used in jobs unless you're, you know, a handwriting technology person. You don't have to worry about this. Therefore, we don't need to teach this. And when she explained, I'm like, yep, makes sense.
Calvin?
When I learned cursive in school, it was, I guess I was explained, the purpose of it is because it's faster than writing normally. And so I guess my point, like, I think it's pointless to teach kids. If they want to learn how to do cursive, it's not even something to learn. Just write normally, but don't pick your pencil up. That's basically what cursive is.
If you want to learn cursive, you can do it at home. There's lots of, it's called YouTube.
You
teach your kid cursive if you want, but the teachers shouldn't have to teach them these things. And this notion of a grown adult, especially Nicolas Cage or someone our age, we could read cursive. But I've seen the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's horrible looking.
It really is.
It is like almost blank.
It's very difficult to read.
Yeah.
Even if you can read cursive. Cassandra on the text line, "My mother was raised writing in cursive. Her name is Dale, but her nickname at a previous job was Dave because no one could read her name."
Well, this is the thing. You want to take it one step further? Look at how they spelled words back then. They used F's instead of S. Like the way they formed letters, totally different.
Yeah.
So I know this is all a joke, and I know they're too stupid to live sometimes on some of the things they talk about. But this is the problem you were saying. This is a squirrel.
It's a squirrel, and they spent an entire segment on this on a Sunday morning, and now people walk away from watching them going, "Democrats hate
exactly
because they hate the Constitution." Okay. Mark from Prairie du Sac, we're up against the clock, Mark, but thank you for joining us. Go ahead. What do you want to say about this?
Well, she probably couldn't explain why they have capitalization in the middle of sentences in their print versions of the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, because that's how they used emphasis. They didn't have bold, you know, print when they printed things. It was just one color of print. I mean, you just put it out, you know, S's look like F's in the script. I mean, it is just ridiculous. I think people should learn to, I didn't know how to write in cursive, and I actually had really good handwriting and neuropathy settled in my hands as a result of my chemotherapy, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, she needs to pull her head out of
out of a Road Rules RV toilet. I don't know.
That could be. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. All right. News is coming up next when we come back. Clocks in public, yay or nay. It's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Writing on the wall. Writing on the wall. Friends say this won't be the end. You want my love again. But my heart knows better than them all.
Better than them all.
This time I feel it's goodbye. Excuse me if I cry, but I see the writing on the wall.
On the wall.
It's not too hard to read.
Eagle 1490 AM. ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's 25% tariffs against Canada and Mexico went into effect at midnight Eastern time. It means prices are about to get higher, including for cars.
There are thousands of auto parts that cross the border between the U.S. and Mexico and also Canada. Car makers have warned that they will end up having to charge higher prices for customers, potentially thousands more. And then, unfortunately, if you're paying more for a new car, you might see more demand for used cars, so used car prices could go up.
ABC News business correspondent Elizabeth Schulze. President Trump halting U.S. assistance to Ukraine Monday, seeking to pressure Ukraine's President Zelensky to engage in peace talks with Russia. The Senate voting 51-45 to confirm President Trump's pick for Education Secretary Linda McMahon. Fire crews in the Carolinas taking advantage of low winds Monday, allowing them to get ahead of those wildfires that have been causing evacuations and threatening hundreds of homes. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A setback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers starting left-handed pitcher Aaron Ashby had to leave last night's spring training game in Arizona in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy says it's an oblique muscle injury requiring an MRI. The Brewers went on to lose to the Reds 5-4. Ashby, the sixth Brewers pitcher, now dealing with an injury. NBA, the Bucks in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Milwaukee has won six of their last seven games, and they've now moved up to fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Badgers men team getting ready to play Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, it is a border state. You know, we've recruited that area really well. That area has been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win. The other stuff that can happen from that is a byproduct of, you know, doing good things on Wednesday night.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress, to no one's surprise, was Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won two. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win four Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated six times and won five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some rainfall chances in the overnight. Slight south winds and lows dropping to the lower 40s. Rain continues Tuesday with highs near 50. Tuesday night, a winter storm watch goes into effect, rain changing to snowfall. Right now, it's 43.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us to
the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Resident young person Calvin on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. The number is the same whether you call or you text. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball in action today. The crew at the Reds. Broadcast begins at 6:55. You can listen to the game on WRCE in Richland Center, on WISS in Oshkosh, and also WBZH in Hayward. Brewers and the Reds tonight, 6:55. Broadcast start. You can check it out on those Civic Media radio stations. Coming up to wrap up the show, as it always is, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Hanky Spanky edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we've been kicking this around for a couple of weeks before we've gotten on the air. And I'm genuinely curious.
Okay.
And so this came up a couple of weeks ago. I served on jury duty in Milwaukee County.
Yes.
Ultimately, I was not selected.
Oh.
But what I noticed, because they were at least 120 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big auditorium, and then there's like two other rooms where you can go wander around, but otherwise you're kind of stuck in this area as they're selecting the jury.
We watched Must Love Dogs when I did it that time.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I love it. So there was, I was the last group.
Yeah.
So you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were there until 4 o'clock in the afternoon until they released us. But you do a lot of wandering around and pacing around.
Yeah.
And there were three different clocks in this, in these spaces at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. Two of them did not work. There was one working clock.
Yeah.
And first of all, I thought, well, Milwaukee County's got money problems. They don't want to replace batteries. I get it. I get it. But then maybe take them down. Because if it's there, maybe it's just me. If the clock is there, I will look at the clock. But it started me thinking about, do we need clocks in public anymore? Because everybody's got a clock on their phone.
Or a smartwatch.
Or a smartwatch. So I'm curious. 855-752-4842. Do we still need clocks in public? I love clocks.
Okay.
I really do. I think clocks are beautiful. I think the whole story of clocks is fascinating. I've been to clock museums, so maybe I'm a little of an outlier.
Folks, we're going deeper than I expected, honestly. I thought we were just going to talk about clocks and their utilitarian.
No, there's a great clock museum in Vienna. It's fantastic.
Birds and clocks.
Birds and clocks. This is my thing. But how do you feel about clocks? Do we need clocks in public anymore because of smartphones and smartwatches? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Clocks, how do you feel about them? Yay, nay, don't need them anymore. Let's move on. Let's go back to sundials. I don't know.
Well, when you were walking around, at least you had time in your lunch break to go down to the cafeteria and enjoy a
No, the cafeteria was closed.
I know. I just wanted to just say that out loud. I love that. You're like, they broke us for lunch, but the cafeteria is closed.
And they gave us, and it was the week that it was super cold.
Yeah.
And they gave us a list of restaurants that were all within 10 blocks.
Yeah.
I didn't go for lunch.
Do you think there'd be a food truck? There's some food trucks out there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Clocks, do we need them in public anymore?
Oh, boy, there's opinions.
855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about clocks?
First, I have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were able to talk to the judge about his gavel.
That sounds like a personal question.
Talked about it making that certain sound.
Oh, with a dun-dun?
We're going to speak to him.
You know what, Ollie? I never got in front of the judge. They dismissed that whole last group before we even got in front of the lawyers to get questioned to be selected. So I never got the opportunity, unfortunately.
Well, darn it. That's a shame.
I know.
Anyway, I think we should definitely keep clocks. A lot of people don't wear wristwatches, and like you, that's I always look for a clock. And a lot of people don't have watches or necessarily have phones that they can look at. So I think clocks are definitely important, as are batteries.
Yeah.
True.
Yes, batteries and electricity are kind of important with clocks, unless you have one of those wind-up ones.
Is it that? I don't know. Do we have an example of the sound from Law and Order sound at all? Oh, he's Calvin. I thought Calvin was. I saw Calvin like brewing, bubbling there, and
thought he would grab it real quick.
Yeah.
Next time I get in front of a judge, Ollie, hopefully it won't be for me. I'll ask him about getting the dun dun.
I just imagine you calling them, being like, I asked the question. How'd it go? I'm in jail right now.
Because I got sassy with the judge. Kathleen from River Hills is on the line. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about clocks?
I love clocks.
I do, too.
And granted, I'm of an older generation, but I wear both the watch and I have a smartphone. Oh, excuse me. I climbed the stairs just now.
I get it,
and,
Kathleen.
And what I can tell you is I also tutor in MPS, and it's not MPS alone. I find this even in my grandson's school. They don't know how to read clock. They look at me blankly, and yet they want to know what time it is. These grade schoolers, many kids' families can't afford to give them watches or smartphones.
Sure, that's a good point.
And if we had functioning clocks, and we taught them how to read a clock face, which I do every time I encounter this, of course, they would have more tools at their disposal. And quite frankly, we need to give those with less privileges than us every tool we can. And buying batteries for clocks doesn't strike me as excessive.
You know what, Kathleen? If I had only had a couple of batteries on me, I would have climbed up there and changed the batteries myself. I probably would have ended up in front of the judge.
I was going to say something going, hey,
not a good idea.
What are you doing? That's my job.
Thank you, Kathleen. Really appreciate it. Thank you for being a teacher. You're a saint. Clocks, yes or no? Do we need clocks in public? 855-752-4842. I love clocks.
Yeah.
Do you have clocks? I am like... pro clock.
Good.
I am. I have more clocks than we need.
Then I have a question for the listeners. I want to hear from the anti-clock people.
Okay.
Who clocks are just an impediment on their life.
We don't need them.
It's a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Waste of batteries. We have a whole bunch of texts coming in. Megan from Sun Prairie listening in Madison on WMDX. Clocks should stay. Especially in train stations and airports, people don't always have a free hand to check their smart devices while traveling if they are in a rush. Mark from Prairie du Sac, the Piggly Wiggly in Sauk City, has an analog clock over the main door, and I like it. Brian from Green Bay is on the phone, 855-752-4842. Thanks for joining us, Brian, and checking in on this very important topic. Clocks in public, yay or nay?
Thanks for having me on. You can ignore my text that I also sent in. Lambeau Field, the clock is actually 10 minutes fast, the giant one at Lambeau Field, for a reason. So it's set on Lombardi time that if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. So
Green
Bay is purposely off.
Seriously.
I love that.
So next time you go up there, look at it. We always tell people that, and they never know why. And now you'll seem smarter, but I don't have time for this clock conversation.
Anybody got time for clocks?
I have things to do. I have things to do. Leave me alone.
I love that. I adhere to the whole if you're on time, you're late. I love that. I hold myself to that, too. I'm not.
Are you usually early?
I'm usually early or on time, which then I consider myself to be late. But I'm a huge aversion to tardiness.
Cam from Appleton. Yes, but make them cursive clocks. Sassy thing.
Wouldn't cursive clocks just be ones with the faces instead of like digital then?
John from Hubertus, the world would be a happier place if everyone had a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
Ben from Richland Center listening on WRCE, traveling through large airports, which seems to take forever. You're absolutely right about that. If you have to change terminals and stuff, I do want to glance up and see the time instead of always having to look at my stupid phone.
Jeff listening on the live stream said I was recently in Grand Central Terminal, and it said it was a thing there, said meet me at the clock. I mean, that is a world-renowned clock. That one is even on the set of SNL too, in the middle of the main terminal. We need them. And PJ on the live stream says the Allen Bradley clock has entered the chat.
There you go. Is the Allen Bradley clock accurate? It's got four faces. Because there was a long period of time where the Allen Bradley clock was not accurate.
I bet. Well, let's. I'm gonna check.
Not to get in trouble here, but I'm just saying.
Is the Allen Bradley
855-752-4842? Yes, we're breaking down the big issues of the day.
Yeah.
Do we need clocks in public? Bring this up because I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago, and over the almost 8 hours we were there, sequestered, there were three clocks hanging up, and two of them didn't work. And I just started thinking about whether or not we actually need clocks in public anymore because everybody's got a smartphone or a smartwatch or a watch. There are still people who wear watches. Personally, I love clocks. Listener on WFHR, I love clocks and I look for them. I have clocks in my house that my children made and that were given as retirement gifts. Have you ever been to Spillville, Iowa to see Billy Clock?
Okay, road trip.
Beautifully carved wooden clocks about the history of our country. That sounds fascinating. Michael from Wauwatosa listening in Madison on WMDX. Yes, to clocks in public. Phones and smartwatches run out of power, and you need to know what time it is. Also, Brian from Milwaukee on Margaritaville at sea, the cruise ship clocks are all set to 5 o'clock.
Oh, we used to, at Lakefront Brewery, we used to sell a clock that was all fives.
It's always 5 p.m. somewhere.
Yep, it's always 5 p.m.
855-752-4842. Clocks in public, yes or no? Are we pro or con?
Can someone just take the anti-clock side? I want to hear what your arguments against clocks are.
Cam is anti-clock.
They
cause me to pass out because when I want time to go faster, I hold my breath. And the second hand moves incrementally quicker, but it risks me passing out.
Albert Einstein would have something to say about that theory.
Clocks are not your enemy, Kim.
No.
They're not your enemy.
No.
Clocks in public, yay or nay. Beverly from Richland Center is on the phone. Good morning, Beverly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I had my Medicare checkup this morning, and one of the things that they always ask us old folks, they give us a clock face and say, okay, put in the hands for 10 minutes after 11. And since I never see analog clocks anymore, it gets harder and harder every year to do that.
I never even thought about that, Beverly. So they make you actually move the hands on a clock to what to prove that you're still cognizant?
No, they give you a paper, they put a circle on it and say, okay, put the numbers in and then put the hands on for the time of 11:10.
And that does that for what reason?
They're trying to make sure you still got your cognitive ability.
Oh, okay.
So there, yeah, it's just a little check on how you're doing.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Beverly. Really appreciate that. Well, and I thought one of our earlier callers had a good point, too, about not every kid has a smartwatch. Not every kid has a smartphone.
Well, I mean.
And I never even thought about teaching them how to tell time.
I learned about that a few years ago when my coworker's son came in and he asked me what time it was and I showed him my watch and he goes, I can't read that. And he was 14.
Wow.
And I think that's something that kind of falls now on the parents to do. If you want to teach them how to read a traditional clock and then do cursive. But Tom on the text line, this is great. All the George Webb restaurants had two clocks.
Yep.
One was always ahead of the other. It was explained to me that back in the day, you weren't allowed to be open 24 hours a day. Therefore, since 1 o'clock was behind the other, they would
1 minute behind the other.
1 minute behind the other. They weren't open 24 hours a day.
West for Middleton, too. Any institution or profession in which time is a vital piece of information, hospitals, transportation, use clocks. Clocks are vital. And they need to stay in public places. Thank you, Wes. Thanks.
Clocks win!
Thanks for checking in on this, everybody. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Hanky Spanky Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same, 855, whether you want to call or text, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreutlow is back from Up North News Radio. Pat's going to be here to help us kick around the news from 10:30 to 11. In hour number two tomorrow, we're going to learn about road salt.
We just to cover all the exciting stuff.
Well, this is important.
I know.
When we talk about the amount of salt that gets on the roads and then leaches into our water systems. So Allison Madison is going to be joining us talking road salt.
Heck yeah. And honestly, it is very interesting, especially when you talk about like brining salts too.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's all on the way tomorrow, and then Wednesday, now a monthly segment. Looking forward to this. A lot going on. Darren Von Ruden will be here. Mm-hmm. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and I'm sure he's been hearing plenty of things from fellow farmers as Donald Trump continues to threaten tariffs.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Darren Von Ruden. That is coming up on Wednesday. Right now, though, at 11:53, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg at me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. The headline reads, Florida Man Games returned for round two as teams vie to be the world's worst superhero. Well done to Daniel Kozin, who has the byline on this. The Florida Man Games are back for round two. Teams from around the state trying to prove they have what it takes to join the ranks of the world's worst superhero. After the success of last year's inaugural Florida Man Games, it was moved to the St. John's County Fairgrounds so they could have more spectators and tailgating. Teams from around the state, from Fort Myers to Pensacola, competed. Last year's winner, Team Hanky Spanky, we're returning to defend their snakeskin championship belt. Also competing this year, the all-female team called the Ballbusters.
Of course.
Croy Bruns, a 29-year-old who works for Dave & Buster's, took part in the weaponized pool noodle competition.
What?
Mr. Bruns has lived in Florida his whole life with the tattoos to show for it. He says he believes that a true Florida man never prepares for the games.
That's I get that. That's a very Florida thing to say.
According to Mr. Bruns, they're just born ready to be great. They're born ready for the trophy, and they're ready for the title, and each year someone new has to be born for it. He says the Florida Man Games are something you won't find anywhere else. You got that right, and we're glad for that.
I was going to say, and thankfully. Mm-hmm.
We've got the Olympics. They've been around forever, but yep, they don't have gator tossing. Can't argue with that.
I should say this, nature always wins.
They don't have a contest where you've got to hold your beer and fight someone at the same time.
You've never been to my family reunions.
Beyond just watching the sporting events, guests can also get into some Florida Man shenanigans themselves, including riding a mechanical alligator and the ever-popular lawnmower racing, hosted by NASCAR driver Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you think anyone, like, gets endorsement deals on anything from this? Like, five-hour energy drink?
There's
or
so much potential there.
Four Loko?
There is so much potential there. This is on brand for the way I thought it would be, said the ring announcer, Chade Durina. It's the right level of grimy, extravagance, and debaucherousness. It's exactly what I want. It's a lot of people day drinking, a lot of people getting sunburnt, a lot of people just partying and acting foolish in the best way. So next year, there's time. You can prepare for it for next year.
Yeah, we should do. We should think of what our Wisconsin...
The version of?
Version of.
The Florida Man Games?
Not like a lumberjack thing, but like take their Florida Games and what's Wisconsin's idea of that one?
We could do that.
We could do that.
We can do that.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we get back, it will be Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8, Pat Kreitlow back early morning 6 to 8 on Up North News Radio, and Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world, and it makes it so much more fun. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond.
Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. At the stroke of midnight, the Trump administration officially kicked off a trade war with America's biggest trading partners. Tariffs now officially in place.
25% on Canada and 25% on Mexico.
And an additional 10% on goods from China. Trump blaming those countries for not doing enough to stem the flow of drugs and migrants into the U.S. The fallout for U.S. consumers, broad. Gas prices are expected to go higher. Oil industry expert Jay Young.
We produce about 13, 14 million barrels a day in the United States. We still consume 20 million, if not 21 million barrels a day. We need 7 million barrels, and the majority of that comes from Canada.
Products like auto parts and groceries could also see their prices skyrocket. President Trump Monday ordering a pause on military aid to Ukraine. On the same day, Russia stepping up attacks. A Russian drone damaging energy infrastructure in Ukraine's Black Sea port of Odessa. This is ABC News. Defense Secretary